believe we probably can do better than that, go above that $60 million goal. You've seen or will see the Deloitte report that was reviewed by Trustee McMillan's committee last week, and that shows, among other things, that we still have potential savings in the millions of dollars on the procurement side alone. So I've asked Avijit to lead our efforts to press forward with anticipated savings that can be reinvested in our priorities and have already helped us limit tuition increases to inflationary rates, avoid furlough days, and initiate for the first time in 3 years a merit-based salary program to recognize the very hard work of our valued faculty and staff. We have more to do, that goes without saying. In March of this year, encouraged by the board, we began to prepare a detailed performance dashboard for each of the campuses, and I think you all have them right here. Maybe get a little color differentiation next time. We'll have one for each of the campuses. You have that in your packet. It's a collection of metrics representing key institutional priorities. What you have is a draft, but it's close to a finished document as it can be at this point. It's still a draft because I wanted to have, and I've asked the chancellors to take one more look at it, welcome their additional suggestions, and we wanted the board to have a chance to review it too, to give us their ideas, their insights, and how it might be improved before we declare it a final version. We also want to do two other things with it. We want to, and I've asked the chancellors to work with me on this, to go through a goal-setting exercise for each of these areas. So we not only have a dashboard of performance metrics, where we are now and how we compare with our peer groups, we also have set to that a certain goal in each of those, or at least most of those very important areas. And then thirdly, at the request of the chairman and other members of the board, we also want to build into the final dashboard a P&L statement for colleges and units within colleges going forward. As it is now, let me just summarize very, very quickly the key areas that you'll find in this dashboard. They cover student access and enrollment, including admissions, yield, diversity enrollment, and student preparedness measured by ACT and other indicators. We have a category called student outcomes, such as retention and graduation rates, degrees in the STEM fields and graduate degrees awarded at the university. Tuition and financial aid, the category that includes in-state tuition levels, percent of students receiving financial aid, borrowing rates, and actual tuition paid. We have a category called faculty and scholarship, including number of tenure system faculty, faculty diversity, National Academy memberships, student-faculty ratios, class sizes, and faculty salaries. We have a category called research performance, such as research expenditures, patents, licenses, business startups. Financial performance, another category, including state appropriations per student enrollment, instructional expenses per student enrollment, and more. And of course, a category called advancement, which includes gift income, alumni giving rates, endowment per student enrollment, and so on. As the board and the public can see, we're doing well, I think pretty well, in many areas on our campuses, but we can also do better in other areas, and the dashboard helps us to identify both categories. Walt Knorr and Avijit Ghosh, Randy Kangas as well, we're working with the chancellors and the provost on a related project that would report by campus, by college, by fiscal year and budget the related actual revenues and expenditures for that fiscal year. That's the profit and loss statement or P&L statement for each campus that I mentioned earlier. We plan to present this data for the three most recent fiscal years for which the board for its information is available, and expect to have it ready at our next board meeting. So again, I want to thank Avijit for his good work in leading this effort, as well as Randy Kangas, whose help was indispensable, and of course the entire leadership team for stepping up to develop this transparent report of our performance, and to do so in, but we're always impatient, right, but still to do so in pretty fast order. Our next step after finalizing the dashboard, as I said, is to pair it with a set of goals, and we hope to be working on that and have regular reports on that over the course of this year. Of course, it goes without saying that I welcome any comments that members of the board may have, any suggestions how we might improve this or shape it a little differently. And I want to acknowledge that Vijay can't be here, but Randy is here somewhere, help me answer any questions, or respond to any comments that you may have. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mike, would we expect at the next meeting when the dashboard is complete, that we would then go that part of this session would be dedicated to going through?
Oh, I think that's yes. And we should have the P&L by then as well, or something close to it, so you'll be able to add that to the dashboard and we can start going through it. We might want to take a piece of this and report regularly on one piece at every meeting or every other meeting, for example, so over the course of the year, whatever your wish is.
And I think the idea is that we begin to articulate what we think is important in that dashboard so
right.
that we can keep our efforts focused on those issues. I think at this point what you're asking for is
your last round of feedback after review.
What should be included
right.
in any formatting changes.
Any formatting changes, if there's something that you think we should include that's not included here, let us know that. If you think in some areas we're collecting and giving too much information, we could do that. I will say that most of the performance indicators that are in here are fairly traditional. They're the kinds of indicators that get measured, say in U.S. News and World Report, although we've done some other things that don't get measured but are important to us, such as diversity numbers and so on. But I encourage the board to spend a little time with it. You don't need necessarily, although you're welcome to, and eventually I know you will, read each one because they're the same. We have separate ones for each campus because each campus has a separate peer group. And one of the things that you'll see in this is we not only measure our performance against ourselves, we measure our performance against our peer group. So, which really makes that kind of benchmarking against your peers is what makes the report so helpful in the long term. So you'll see where we're outperforming or underperforming or pretty much at the average in each of these areas. And so if you look carefully at one of them, you wouldn't necessarily have to look quite as carefully at the others. In terms of just telling us this is the right kind of performance measure, or why don't you add something on this? We'd welcome those suggestions and have a final one for you at the December meeting.
Pam?
I just had a question about the peer group. I know it's a different set of universities for each campus, but how were the institutions selected to be within each peer group? If we could see a description of that.
Okay, we can give you that.
And I don't know, and how did we arrive at the number of peer institutions who were selected? Do we have the right number?
Okay, let me present that information also when we come back in December. But the Illinois Board of Higher Education has established peer groups for us. So we started there, but then we made some appropriate changes, I think, particularly when it came to the peer comparisons on the Chicago campus. On the Urbana campus, we submitted a list of institutions approved by the Illinois Board of Higher Education, but not including a number of private institutions that had been there before. And I think we did that because it's very hard for any public university these days to compare itself favorably in all of these categories to very richly endowed Ivy League schools, for example. So the more relevant comparison tended to be other elite for the Urbana campus, other elite public universities. So I wouldn't say we invented the peer groups whole cloth all over again. They've always been ours. We just made appropriate adjustments that seem to be appropriate this time around, and we can talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, at some point when you're in a competition, you